vision of football really has changed. So as a player, you know, you play to win, you play to succeed individually and of course as part of a team. But then when I became a coach, suddenly I had to view it totally differently. And as I've grown older as a coach, I've moulded my ideas and philosophies, and to this point today, I want to play attractive football. I want people to want to pay to come and watch my team.
Well, we weren't expecting that, were we? Or maybe we were. The last episode that we did for Back of the Net was called The End of an Era. This is episode 92. Oh, goodness knows what we'll call this one. My name's Sam Davis. AFC Bournemouth on Saturday night confirmed that Eddie Howe had left the club by mutual consent. The 42-year-old, who managed the Cherries in more than 450 games across two spells at the Vitality, spanning more than a decade, made the decision together with club officials on Saturday. In his letter, which is visible on the AFC Bournemouth website, he said, "Having spent a total of 25 years with the club as both a player and a manager, this decision, made together with the club, is one of the hardest I've ever had to make. However, although the affection and love I have for this football club will always remain, we collectively feel that now is the right time for the club to go in a new direction. Bournemouth will always be in my heart, but I firmly believe that now is the right time for the club to have a change." He goes on to say that he's going to be watching Bournemouth now as a fan, like the rest of us. It's a very strange time. After the announcement on Saturday, we went live on YouTube for a video that lasted, over 2.5 hours, where a lot of us came together to chat about all things Eddie. And it was like therapy, I've got to say. And we heard from Mike Botto and Chris Temple. Now, we're going to be taking in their views again later on in this podcast, as well as some other fan vox pops. So stay tuned for that. On this pod, of course, there's only one topic. Of course, there was the news that Nathan Ake left for £41 million in the week. Well, he hasn't left yet, but the deal's been agreed. And it's somewhat a secondary story now, because the manager that oversaw our Premier League rise is now gone. And with only 6 weeks until the new season, it's going to be five now, there's not much time left to get things sorted. Things are going to be moving very thick and fast over the next 5 weeks or so, as I said. And whoever comes in has got big shoes to fill. JT apparently is staying on in the interim. But between myself, Neil Dawson and Jeff Hayward, we're going to be talking all things Howe. But first, Jeff Hayward was on media duty on Sunday on 5 Live, and he was alongside Tommy Elphick, and these were some of the thoughts from, firstly, Bournemouth's Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to Chris there saying that it probably wasn't a surprise to many and was a surprise to a lot. I was definitely in the camp that it was a huge surprise. People always ask me, do you think he'll stay? Do you think they'll get rid of him? I could never see it, to be honest. I just can't picture a Bournemouth without Eddie. So although it was maybe inevitable to a lot of people, when the news broke, it was actually quite shocking to read it. And I don't know, the place is going to look a lot different without Eddie now. And like what Eddie's done for the football club, the man deserves to walk on water for me, what he's brought to the club, the culture he's set there, the foundations he's laid going forward. So amongst all this, I don't think it can be lost. And just what a marvellous job he's done, really.
Well, I think this season, if ever there was a season that was going to sap Eddie of his energy, his enthusiasm, and actually his enjoyment for the game, we could see it this season. You know, it was a combination of things. We had terrible injuries, lots of bad luck. Eddie made some bad decisions as well. I don't think he felt that some of his coaching was up to it. And he's hard on himself as well. So lots of things went against us. And of course, you know, there have been so many VAR decisions that were sort of borderline, and that goal that should have been given for Sheffield United against Villa that wasn't. It's just like the season had, it had a relegation feel over it for from pretty much December onwards, and he wasn't able to do anything about it. And I think that kind of powerlessness against events, it was relentless for him this season. I completely understand why he wants to give it a break. What I was hoping for was that he would take some time off and come back refreshed and renewed, but the pandemic kind of extended the season and doesn't give any time for that. So, you know, it's been the toughest season for him. I completely get that, but one season in 12 is a failure. You know, come on, the guy's a genius. Mm. And I think the statement from the chairman that came out earlier this week set a tone for, we're going to come back. We're going to come back stronger. He's in it for the long term. There's going to be investment there for what we thought was going to be Eddie, but whoever is the new manager coming in. So, you know, the fans are actually in a pretty positive mindset. Well, they certainly were after Tuesday, but, you know, losing Eddie, it's going to be disruptive. We're not sure how many players are going to go, how many of the coaching team is going to go, what the impact of it will be. And I think the club's got a responsibility to act pretty decisively and quickly to bring somebody in who can keep that culture going and keep us going in the right direction.
So there you go. The thoughts there of Tommy Elphick and Jeff Hayward. Those clips were from BBC Radio 5 Live, and you can hear the whole thing on BBC Sounds. Just scroll back to Sunday's programme. It was about 12:20 p.m. after they chatted Formula One. And, Jeff nearly choked. You could hear that he was in a very emotional state of mind. And I think, obviously, hearing Tommy, obviously very downbeat as well. We know what Eddie's done for Tommy, so I'm sure that he will be upset just like the rest of us. But now it's time for Neil Dawson and myself to also contribute. So Jeff is standing by. So let's go over what happened. So it's been a tumultuous weekend. On Saturday at 9 o'clock, we heard the news that Eddie was leaving the club by mutual consent. And to say it's been a roller coaster season for AFC Bournemouth, well, it's been a roller coaster week, because on Tuesday we heard this positivity that came out of the club through a statement that was released from the owner saying about how he's committed to getting us back into the Premier League. And most of us thought that would be with Eddie. But on Saturday at 9 p.m, as mentioned, not to be the case. Jeff, how are you?
Yeah, it's been a tumultuous week. I felt better after last week's show, and I felt better after Max's statement. Ake going was sort of expected, and I think that was arguable whether that was a good deal or not a good deal, but I thought it was actually all right to get 40 million for him. And then the bombshell last on Saturday, which has been a bit of an unexpected and also quite devastating blow. I think it's got us all thinking in a completely different way to where we were probably on Tuesday.
It's one of these things that fans have been toying with, especially when we've been poor in that second half of the season. But, you know, that still doesn't reduce the shock level by any stretch of the imagination, because the feeling is almost of numbness for me. I don't know what it's like for you.
Yeah, I feel a bit bereft. I feel like someone's, you know, passed away. That's what it feels like. Which, I mean, it's all a bit overdramatic. You know, here we are in the middle of a terrible pandemic, and, it, you know, I don't want to get into comparisons like that, but it's more than just a manager leaving. That's the thing. We are a different type of club to other football clubs. And you can read all the sort of statements that have, all the news pieces that have been put out there already. And you just read them and you think, they don't get it. You know, they don't actually understand what it is about this club that makes it so special and why Eddie was an intrinsic part of it. you know, they're talking about, oh, well, you know, he should have got other jobs, you know, bigger clubs. That's not what it's about. He's not a normal football manager. And that, again, I think makes it quite shocking.
Yeah, I said on the show that was live straight after the announcement that, you know, there were a lot of other fans coming onto the chat and, you know, giving us grief, even from Manchester United and Liverpool fans, which you think, well, you know, are you looking at Bournemouth, small tin pot club, and you're trying to get one over us by, you know, laughing your heads off? I thought it was, you know, that's a sign of how far we've actually come. But like you say, there are other teams who get through their managers like they do kitchen towels. And it's one of those things that makes us a different club, and we're very unique. But maybe this is the start of us just being any other run-of-the-mill club. Who knows? Neil Dawson, how did you hear the news on Saturday night?
I got a text from my son. I was in the middle of moving house. So he texted me, and that was the first that I was aware of it. And then I jumped online and obviously caught up with everything else that was happening. But, you know, as Jeff said, people don't really understand our club. I think a lot of people think we're kind of the size of a Huddersfield or, you know, one of those sort of clubs. They don't realise that we're actually like a Rochdale. You know, we're not even like a Plymouth, really. We're more like an Exeter, aren't we? So, and that's the bit that I think, you know, when you listen to these phone-in shows and people are saying, you know, maybe he should move on or maybe he should go, I think that's the bit that they just really don't understand the size of our football club. I think only we understand the size of our football club and the magnitude of what he's achieved.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, we've been in the Premier League for 5 years, but, you know, we know we're small, but we're getting so much media. I mean, over the weekend, Jeff was doing stints on Five Live. He was chatting after Chris Temple alongside Tommy Elphick, and there was a, you know, good sizable stint. There's been media crews outside the Vitality. And, you know, it seems that maybe other fans think we're bigger than what we are, but only we seem to know. But the reaction on the AFC Bournemouth timelines and on the forums, it's been a feeling of numbness. As Jeff said, he's been feeling, you know, bereft. There's been a whirlwind of emotions, and not least, I think it's multiplied by the fact that we have to make decisions and get things done really quickly. This is not the average 3 month, 4 month break from football or whatever it usually is. We've got 6 weeks to turn things around. And there's, in my mind, there's a whirlwind of emotions right now, Neil. It's going to be a busy old time, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, I wouldn't say it's manageable, really, because we've got to get whoever we get in. And I think that's, we'll probably come on and talk to that. That's going to be a really crucial decision for the club, because my overriding feeling is we've got two emotions. We've got the emotion of Eddie going. Once we've parked that and dealt with that emotion, then we've got to move on to the fact of what was it that he heard, which was why he went. Because I think that's potentially long-term as almost as important as him leaving. Because clearly he heard something about the direction of the football club, I would imagine, that he's therefore made a decision on the back of. And I think that's probably not quite sunk in for a lot of fans yet. We're still dealing with the Eddie piece. But I think that piece in itself is large.
Jeff, the fact that it was mutual consent tends to suggest that, you know, maybe, you know, the board weren't giving Eddie the guarantees that, you know, what he needed, either with the training ground or with particular signings or money or whatever. And it's always been something that we feared once we did get, you know, relegated to the Championship. But our job now has become almost like, you know, tenfold as difficult without Eddie, in my opinion. And my levels of optimism for how we're going to be dealing with the season have dropped. And I'd be happy just to stay in the league this year.
Yeah, I think the motivations for why he made that decision will be really very interesting to explore. Obviously, a lot's been said about his tiredness during the season. You know, he was looking like he wasn't enjoying it for large parts of the season. There were issues that he had to deal with. I mean, he's dealt with injury issues before, but I'm not sure he's had the people management issues for so much of the season in the past. I think also trying to get the team right for the matches that he was playing. I mean, that, you know, we had the best quality team that we've ever had, and yet worst performance in five seasons in the Premier League. And that I think must have frustrated him. You know, there's a lot of pride and professional pride about Eddie that I think probably had something to do with it as well, that he felt he wasn't able to get the players to play the way that he wanted, to that standard. So there's all of that stuff. And then there's what's going on within the club that we're not privy to. We can speculate about. I wonder whether there's talk of perhaps a director of football coming in, perhaps, that he's not that keen on, because he is fully in control of what he's got. And it seems pretty clear to me one of the things this season is it did get too much for him. Mm. And maybe there's something about that. Not sure. I think we could look at the investment statement that Max put out and think, yeah, you know, everything's rosy because that's what Max has said. But we don't know the detail. And, you know, Neil could absolutely be spot on. You know, maybe there aren't the guarantees around what's going to be invested in the squad or what needs to happen. Or maybe there are more players being sold than we're aware of at the moment. I mean, I think tumultuous. I mean, we ain't seen nothing what it's going to be like over the next few weeks. You know, we're going to have a new coach. We're going to have a new setup. We're going to have pre-season friendlies. We're going to have players leaving, players coming. We've got loads more to go of this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I do agree. And it's interesting about, you know, the reasons why he went. And I'm not even sure whether we'll actually find out. And there are some people that are maybe suggesting that, you know, Maxim's a businessman. He could see that we were struggling at the bottom of the league around Christmas. And, you know, we've always been in those kind of areas of the league. I mean, we dropped like a stone since October, November, really. And you wonder whether Maxim wanted a change earlier, because some people have been suggesting he was wanting to get him gone in January, but maybe Jeff Mostyn, being the sentimentalist that he is, kind of persuaded Maxim to, you know, keep him on. And, you know, this has perhaps almost been written in the stars for, you know, the last few months. But what's your kind of, your take, Neil, on the possibilities of, you know, why it has happened?
I think had he wanted to keep him, he would have kept him. Had he wanted him to go, rather, he'd have got rid of him in January or February. So I don't think there's any logic. And I think he will be a logical man and he will be advised by logical people. There was no point in... If you were going to make a hard-nosed decision about Eddie Howe, the time to make that was January. There's no point in making it now, because what we would have had with Eddie was a manager who knows how to win the championship and a manager who knows how to work with less resources. So he had the perfect manager for the championship. So I could have understood it, although I would have been very disappointed had he sacked Eddie in January. I can't understand it now. So I do think they've got a good relationship. I think they've sat down. I think a lot of football clubs post-COVID are looking at very, very little revenue. A lot of companies worldwide are making decisions about capital expenditure on building projects and reducing them or not doing them. And I think he's effectively, Eddie wanted to stay if he was going to keep the playing squad together and build a legacy around a training ground and a stadium. I think he's been explained to him that unfortunately that won't be happening in the current economic climate. And I think the two of them have made a mutually amicable decision would be my guess. None of us really know, but that's the way I think it probably would have played out. I don't think, unless we find out, Willow's intimated there might be something stranger afoot. But until we hear that, my take on it would be as I just described.
Yeah, and you've just encapsulated it really. There's, you know, there's such a whirlwind of emotions, and, you know, there's lots of players that bought into the Eddie Howe philosophy. And those players now, I'm starting to wonder, well, will we be able to retain them? Players like, you know, Lloyd Kelly, Chris Meppham, are they maybe going to look elsewhere? Now, of course, we can talk about new managers, etc. And do we bring in someone, you know, from the outside, or do we look internally? And people have been talking about Stephen Purchase or whatever, but isn't, you know, surely if we've got rid of Eddie, that now's time for a fresh start. And if we went with someone internal like Purchase, we'd just be basically the same as we are now, but arguably with a manager of less quality.
Yeah, can't disagree with that. I think I'll tell you what I think as well is important, right? The whole sort of Eddie as family man, we shouldn't underestimate that. You know, you could see that he had little of that passion that he used to have, even a couple of seasons ago. You know, that 4-1 win we got against Leicester, we barely celebrated that. And that I think speaks to an Eddie who wasn't loving the job as much, and wanting to spend more time with your family is a real cliche, but it's stressful doing that job. How stressful it was this season when he was under so much pressure. There are loads of things going on the playing side, let alone on what could have been happening in the club that might have messed him about. And if he's finished the season now, we've got 6 weeks turnaround, he's got to put the amount of effort in to figure out of those 23 clubs in the Championship what are their strengths and weaknesses, all that research, 46 games he's committing himself to next season. Bloke needs a break. I completely get that. And you can't say as a football manager, Eddie, you know what, take 6 months off and then come back and see how you feel after that. Have a rest. And you know what it's like. If you don't enjoy a job anymore, it's hard to motivate yourself to actually do it. So I wouldn't underestimate any of that as a factor in his decision-making. I think we may well go with someone who knows the Championship really well, because we'll need that intelligence straight off the bat. You know, we can't mess about. If we're gonna survive, let alone, you know, finish top half or whatever, we've got to start running straight away.
Yeah, we have to. It is a manager's job that encompasses so much at Bournemouth more than any other club, and I've said it before on many a podcast. He's involved in so many different aspects within the club, even the marketing, lots of different things that goes out, and it's almost like he's sort of, you know, taken on too much. I mean, he's not unique in that there are other managers in the Premier League that have had more games to manage this season, and you know they've been in jobs for long periods of time. So what do you think it is, Neil, that has, you know, caused Eddie to look so fatigued? Because he has visibly fatigued, whereas previously, I'm sure he has felt tired, but he just carries on and carries on. But this time it seems to be a bit too much for him.
Yeah, I mean, he even picks the colour of the kit and the design of the kit. I was thinking the other day when the new manager arrives and someone says to him, do you want V-neck or do you want round neck? He's probably going to be thinking, guys, what did my predecessor actually do? Yeah. So I think his roots reach out throughout the entire club, which make him a very unusual football manager. And I think I was reflecting on who I would choose, or if I was, you know, the board, who I would choose. And I think the two things that we need, I think the first thing is we need someone that can work with limited resources. I think whatever decision's been made, I think that's clearly a decision based on the amount of resources we're going to have for next year. And the second thing, I think it's got to be someone that's got a really strong personality, because when you take over from someone that's been a legend, it's really, really difficult. And I think we've seen that a number of clubs, in Manchester United, Borussia Dortmund, when you're following in people like Ferguson or Klopp, it's really, really hard. And although obviously Eddie's not reached the heights of those in his career, it's exactly the same issue in terms of Bournemouth that anyone coming in will have, because he was all encompassing throughout the club. So I think we're looking for someone that can work with small resources, and someone that's got a really good personality that will get the whole club to move on, Eddie, because the fans will be seeing his name for weeks, and you know, we can just see it's going to be a really difficult job. So I was thinking, if you reflect on that, my top two would be Gareth Ainsworth at Wickham or Nigel Pearson.
How much do you think the coronavirus, Jeff, has had an effect on all this? Because I'm sure, you know, Eddie loves to communicate with the fans, both, you know, in person and, you know, visibly. He's always turning around and, you know, waving to people in the main stand. And I can imagine that's, you know, for a small club like us, where it's relied on more than any, you know, other club in the Premier League, I can imagine it's been quite a sort of loss for him. And he's a family man. He's a people person. He's a good man manager, and he's had none of that. Do you think, you know, do you think a virus from China has basically lost Eddie his job?
Well, we can blame it for a lot of things. Why not blame it for that? if you go back to our last game pre-lockdown, which was Liverpool away,
yeah,
and we put in a decent performance. I mean, it was a classic performance from the season, wasn't it? You know, we could have got a draw, and instead we lose 2-1. We have a player who gets injured, and you know, it kind of turns the game, and we make a couple of mistakes, and they score. That game, yeah, sounds familiar. That game was actually quite an encouraging one to watch as a fan, because you thought Fraser was actually putting in a performance in that game. Callum Wilson scored, which was, you know, first time he'd scored for a while. And the team was playing with an intensity and a passion that felt like old Bournemouth. Now, looking forward to the next game, which would have been Palace at home, I think we'd have got a totally different performance out of the team if it had been the week after, rather than wait, you know, 9 weeks and then start again. Because we were just in a different mindset. And actually, I think it did have a factor, because we didn't come out of the lockdown very well at all. In those two crucial games that we had to win at home, we didn't turn up. And the fans missing was a big part of that. I'm sure we'd have got behind the team for that Palace game, and we'd have got a totally different result, possibly, well, certainly got a totally different performance than we got. So I think the fans mattered. Eddie made a big point about how important the fans were, and I believe him. I think that did affect the players negatively. We've not got much of the vitality to scare other teams. What we do have is a small pitch and fans right on top of you. Mm. And we create a hell of an atmosphere for 10,000 supporters. So I'm sure that would have made a difference. So, yeah, thanks, coronavirus.
It's you know, it's not just a manager. I mean, I know that it's rumoured that JT is going to take over in the interim and all these sort of different bits and pieces. But, you know, if Eddie goes, for a person that's been involved in so much, there's going to be big shoes to fill. And no one can just do what he did, because he was an exceptional manager that, you know, had his fingers in so many pies, you know, sort of within the club. It almost needs a restructure, Neil, doesn't it? You know, from the management up, or, you know, even management down, whichever way you want to look at it. It's, you know, it's not just one person that needs to be replaced. So do you think this will mean that there'll be some of the coaches in the first team that will probably be very nervous now?
Yeah, I think whoever comes in will want a clean sheet, because there'll be too much residue of Eddie around. And there'll be too much talk of, it wasn't like this when Eddie was here. And that's just the nature of anyone that's done any job in leadership. When you take over from someone, those things just aren't helpful for you. So I think, you know, I would imagine that anyone worth their salt coming in is going to come in and say, I'll join, but I want this coach. I want this fitness coach. Because that's the way that the world of football works. Just as, you know, when Eddie takes his next job, I would imagine they'll all go with him, because football managers have very little time, and they need people around them that they can trust, because they only get half a season often before someone makes a decision on them. So, yeah, I would be exceptionally nervous if I was Stephen Purchase or Jason Tindall.
And, you know, we all, of course, wish Eddie the best with his health, and that he has the break you know, that he needs. Jeff, what do you think would be the feasible time for him to come back into management? Because it was clear that really this break that we got of 6 weeks was, you know, was never really going to be enough, given that all the stuff he's got to do. I mean, I think players are coming back in for training on August the 11th. That is no time, you know, like even a, you know, like even a fortnight's holiday would not have been enough for him, really, would have it?
No. I'm really struggling to see what his next job is. Can you see him uprooting himself from Bournemouth after what happened at Burnley to go to any other side? So what does that mean? Is he going to be Southampton's manager and commute? You know, he could do that after Hasenhüttl goes. Could do that, possibly. But will a lot of bigger clubs give him that sort of freedom to pick his own team and be so embedded, if he wants to be that controlling? Will that be permitted at a bigger club?
And do you think would like that? You know, do you think he would like to just be able to concentrate on the football without all the rest of it? I mean, it, you know, it could work both ways for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he does want to concentrate on the football more, but he is a micromanaging boss, and I'm not sure he could cope with that. What job do I see him taking? I could see him doing something within the under 21 setup. Perhaps that might actually suit him. Less pressure, you know, and he's well thought of, I think, as a bright English manager. Gareth Southgate wasn't hugely successful before he got into it, was he? So maybe something like that. I don't know. I honestly can't see him taking another club on, really. He won't have that same connection. He really won't.
Bristol City, I think. He can do it from his house easy enough, and he would be given a lot of freedom there. I think they would be glad to have him. He needs to be really careful. I think there'll be one word echoing in his head, and that's Kerbishley, Alan Kerbishley at Charlton, who did a very similar job to Eddie and created a team that played wonderful football in the Premier League and was touted around for a lot of jobs. Then they got relegated and they parted company with Alan Kerbishley, and everyone said, well, it's only a matter of time before he springs up in another job. He's never worked again. So I just think you've got to be careful when you take a sabbatical, that sabbatical is probably at tops 4 or 5 months of really intensive learning and personal development or whatever he chooses. But then he needs to come back and he needs to get a championship side or above. Else he's in danger of will be his footnote. So I think he'll be back sooner than people think.
Neil, do you think that, obviously in your lifetime supporting AFC Bournemouth, you've seen many Cherries managers, you know, come and go, but, you know, football as a whole, it's almost a weekly occurrence. But do you think that there will have been, you know, any ideas from the board at this stage about who could potentially fill his shoes, or do you think there are conversations that perhaps have not been had yet?
I think there'll be, you'd hope that they would always have had a plan B. I mean, if they're a well-run outfit, they should have a replacement for every player and every member of the management team. So you'd hope they would have someone. I mean, I mean the one I would love to take a punt on is Gareth Ainsworth.
Yeah. I mean, and Neil and Jeff, have you got any preferences from the names you've seen about?
The one that stands out for me, who actually understands what the club's all about and has got a similar kind of heritage to Eddie, would be Steve Robinson, who's done an amazing job on Little Resource at Motherwell. I mean, you look at some of their stats. I mean, he was touted for the Northern Ireland job earlier this year. He's obviously a very talented coach. He was here as part of the 95 Great Escape team, and, you know, played at Wembley with us as well in that final years ago. So Robbo understands where the club has come from, and I think he knows a lot of the players. I mean, he played with Fletch, so, you know, he knows a lot of the players, which might be helpful, might not be. But what would he see? He'd see a team that's got bigger resources than Motherwell, and he's got the opportunity to prove himself in Championship and then take that forward into the Premier League, hopefully. And I think that could be really attractive to him. If we do go for somebody who knows the Championship well, I see Paul Cook from Wigan is current favourite, and all the reports I've read of him are that he's a decent manager. But honestly, I'm just not sure anybody from outside can really step in and make a difference straight away.
Neil was shaking his head at Paul Cook, but he was nodding at Steve Robinson. Neil, leaving Motherwell from the Scottish Premiership into AFC Bournemouth, small club in the Championship, would that be a step down for him, or would it be pretty much a sideways step?
Steve Robinson, I wasn't shaking my head at him. I'd love to see Steve Robinson. He'd probably be my top three, would be Pearson, Robinson and Ainsworth for me. I was shaking my head at Paul Cook, because if I have to listen to him on the radio, I'm not sure I'll carry on going, because he just drives me insane with his football manager scouts dribble.
You know, obviously, I think in the Championship, when you've got a manager with the calibre of Eddie Howe, that as the new, you know, obviously there's the story that goes with it. League Two, League One, Championship, Premier League, kept us in there for five seasons. Obviously got a ninth place finish, known for an attractive brand of football, known for bringing through young up and coming players. You can see with the players that we've signed and even sold on. I mean, Tyrone Mings barely played and his stock, I mean, we almost like tripled his value. David Brooks, Aaron Ramsdale, Callum Wilson, Josh King. We could go, you know, forever with this. He's obviously got a lot of people that, you know, love his brand of football, love his managerial style, and a lot of players also buy into him as well. How much of a loss is it going to be to not have just his name as our manager in the Championship? Because how attractive are we now without Howe? You know, would we be as attractive with, I don't know, Steve Robinson or like any other names that you said, like Nigel Pearson, for instance, Jeff?
Yeah, I think it's I think that's a really good question. He's got a lot of charisma and he's got a lot of kudos in the way he coaches. His reputation and stock is very high for improving players. So I'm sure that that does make a difference. The key will be, I think, what the club actually put down as their vision for the future and whether players buy into that going forwards. Less so about the charisma of the manager, certainly in the early days. One thing I would say about the successor as well is the one time that we lost Eddie when he went to Burnley, Lee Bradbury took over and was kind of trying to do Eddie light at that time, which worked for a period. He was liked internally. That was definitely that internal continuity appointment, but it all kind of fell apart. And then there was the Paul Groves, Sean Brooks again. There was a kind of, I mean, Sean Brooks and Paul Groves were both from the U team, but with a different kind of vision. Again, internal appointments didn't work. So, you know, we need to be really careful about if it is an internal appointment, what are we actually expecting them to do? Because I think JT will try and manage like Eddie if he gets the job. But he ain't Eddie. And that I think, will create more issues than solutions.
Neil, Eddie worked wonders with us and, you know, what he did was unbelievable. But, you know, let's just balance this up a little bit. He wasn't without his weaknesses, was he? And this has been one of the worst footballing seasons with probably one of the best squads that we've got in a long time. So he's not without fault. And, you know, any other club in the Premier League would have probably sacked their manager. I think he had a bit of a green card to last until the end of the season. He's parted company, which is the right way for him to go. I think it would have been wrong for him to be sacked. But let's just talk about, you know, the reasons why perhaps it could be a good thing for us, because the last sort of 12 months has not been brilliant, has it?
Yeah, I mean, is this us trying to end on a high, I guess, isn't it? But the I think the... It's certainly things have gone stale, that's for sure. So... it's interesting, a lot of the players who are tweeting frantically about how disappointed and gutted they are, some of them have put in just 50% of effort in those five relegation games against Christmas, he'd still be here. And for whatever reason, he lost the ability to get the players to go out on the pitch and fight tooth and nail for him. And I think it frustrated him more than ever. You know, logically, the upside will be that when someone comes in, that anyone that was comfortable having an easy ride will no longer be comfortable in having an easy ride. The downside is they won't have all of the other magical things that we saw from Eddie from, you know, up until the last 18 months. So, you know, with a good appointment, so if Steve Robinson came or Gareth Ainsworth came or someone like that, and they set their own mark on the club, brought some players in, there's a bedrock of great players there, introduced a new style, then it could be really entertaining. I just think I'd rather would have done the Championship with Eddie.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. But Jeff, there were in many a podcast that we recorded together and also with Neil where there were, you know, square pegs in round holes and players were being played out of position and substitutions were being made at different times and, you know, formations we looked at even before the game thinking, you know, what on earth is he doing there? So, you know, he wasn't without fault. And do you just think sometimes when you're consumed within the bubble that you've basically created, you sometimes lose your head a bit. And, you know, the lack of having any external factors has perhaps caused this situation that we're in today.
I think that's a very valid point. I mean, he was really stubborn, and you saw that a lot this season. I think also the number of times that we as fans felt tactically, Eddie, you've got it wrong, it's probably more so this season than any other time. I think he seemed to lose that belief in himself that he could make a game-changing substitution or tweak things, and, you know, that in-game kind of tactical nous. I mean, I remember when we were talking about the Newcastle game, I mean, to see him outwitted by someone like Steve Bruce, no disrespect, but actually loads of disrespect, you know, that didn't seem to me the Eddie of a few seasons ago.
No, and Kirk Tovey on the chat that we did immediately after the news said that it was personified by his selection of team against Everton, where it was almost like he was throwing all his eggs in one basket with the formation that he put out there. It is a funny one, but, you know, overall, we cannot deny what an incredible job he's done. I just kind of wish it happened in different circumstances whereby we were still in the Premier League, but now it sort of looks like a bit of a failure where we've got not much of a legacy, Neil. And, you know, what legacy is there? Because the training ground, I would have thought that if that was going ahead, there would be no doubt that Eddie would want to stay and see it through. But I mean, we don't know with regards to that, but what have we got from this 5-year stint in the Premier League?
Nothing. So, and that's the very frustrating and very Bournemouth story of the whole era, is that only we could get 600 million quid and not build a stadium with it. Instead we bought, you know, and I know we've made a lot of great signings, but we could have built a stadium for the, you know, the money that we spent on Graben, Solanke, Ibe and the Phoebe. None of which we've ever used, really, because we always had the same players that kept us up. And that's the frustrating side. As a business model, it's been the most flawed 5 years you could ever anticipate, because we should have built a stadium, and Eddie should have left on the back of a good season and gone on to a better job, and we should have had a successor lined up. That's how you would run a successful business. Unfortunately, we've had many, many years of not running a successful business and being a bit tin pot. And so as it stands, we're probably going to have a big struggle in the Championship next year with exactly the same stadium and 600 million quid floated away.
Do you think it's almost, Neil, do you think we almost did it too much the wrong way round? Because obviously the focus was on retaining Premier League status. Therefore, we bought the players that Howe needed, spent a lot of money on them, and yet the infrastructure was almost, was almost a secondary thought. And it was only after a couple of seasons where this, you know, we had to talk about stadium expansions and stuff, and that didn't really happen. And then the training ground, was it going to happen? Will it? Won't it? And finally, you know, the land was cleared. I mean, nothing's been sort of, you know, built yet, and we don't know whether it will. But do you think it, there was almost too much focus on the playing side?
100%. And I think if you were going to be quite harsh on Eddie, I think he was part of that. I think he was part of the decision-making process that decided pretty early on that staying in the Premier League was key to unlocking the 110 million every year. And therefore, he needed 40, 50 million pounds worth of players every year to get the 110 million. And ultimately, he probably didn't, because all he ever did was go back to the team that got him up for the first 3 years. They'd have comfortably stayed in that division, and we could have done something to have built an infrastructure for the future. And I think that will be a huge regret.
Jeff, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And you know, if we had finished 17th for a number of seasons in a row with, you know, the bare bones of squad and, you know, just spending frugally like a lot of Premier League teams sometimes do, but still manage to retain their status, you know, we could have, you know, come out with this training ground already built, you know, maybe a new stadium in the pipeline or, you know, sort of under development now. Do you think Eddie Howe almost had too much say in how money was spent, perhaps?
Yeah, quite probably. I think the one thing that we have got after these 5 years is, well, we've got a bit more respect from other football clubs, because, you know, I don't think there's only one of the top six sides that we haven't beaten in the last 5 years. And I certainly know that Chelsea fans are delighted to see us go down. So, you know, I think probably as a football club, we're now better known, but that's valueless ultimately. The stadium has been, I mean, that has been such an issue for so many years. Even the current stadium, when that got built, how many times have we talked about increasing the capacity of that stadium, buying it back so that we actually own it? We can't do that deal, so we can't actually do anything on that side. All the sort of planning issues with the council about where we do build and all the infrastructure development that would need as well to support it. I mean, it's gone on and on and on. And even when we were rising from League Two, League One Championship, it's still been an issue, and we've not been successfully able to resolve that. And I have no idea why that problem seems so big that we can't solve it, because it's fundamental to the success of the club, and we should have made progress in the last couple of years. I mean, we should at least be building it.
Yeah. And Neil, what do you think fuels Maxim? Because he put out that really positive statement on Tuesday about, I'm committed to getting us back into the Premier League. But I don't know, it just seems such a tough ask now. I mean, I don't know whether at that stage he knew what Eddie was going to do or whether it wasn't. But I mean, it's probably easier for him to cut his losses and recoup what he can and run. But, you know, do you think that was lip service, what he said on Tuesday? Or do you think it was almost, one, something to maybe try to, you know, coax Eddie into staying, or maybe make us an attractive proposition for a manager that wants to come in to think, oh, you know, I'll have resources to try to get this club back into the top flight? I mean, what makes him stay on? Because for all intents and purposes, he'd be better off leaving.
Well, I think that statement was a PR statement to the fans. I think he would have known that the discussions were ongoing. And I think he would have wanted to have put some sort of stake in the ground to the fans to say, look, we're trying to keep Eddie. I think he would have been advised to put a statement out along those lines. Because if you think about it, what's the opposite of that statement? That's something that you just can't say.
Yeah.
I think for him, it's difficult without knowing his business interests. Everything is worth an awful lot less than it was 6 months ago. So it's not as simple as being able to cut your losses and run. I think if he wants to get his money back out of the club, then he needs to get it back into the Premier League, because there will be no money now.
The
problem, going back to what Jeff said, was that when you don't improve your infrastructure, your chances of coming back are slimmer. So I would have much rather that we put money into a stadium and a training ground and got relegated, because at some point in the next 20 years, there's a much stronger chance you can come back. Now we're going to be, you know, with financial fair play, we're going to be judged on a very small income. Unless we find another Eddie Howe, we are potentially heading back to where we've spent most of our life.
That's the horrible thought. It really is. And like I say, hindsight is a wonderful thing. And it's just a shame that we're in this position now with, you know, not much to show for it. A few fans, Jeff, calling for a statue to Eddie Howe. Is that something that you'd subscribe to?
As a minimum, I'd name the training ground after him when it gets built. Maybe the new stadium should be named after him when it gets built. Those would be suitable legacies. I mean, statues. I mean, ever since that Cristiano Ronaldo effort, I'm not a big fan of statues. They can look rubbish, and they're not the same as the real person. I don't think we're a statue sort of club anyway. The council would probably object, and we wouldn't be able to get planning permission for it.
Yeah, go on, Neil.
I think you need to die to get a statue. That's my take on it. I just think statues are for dead people, aren't they? And I don't think Eddie Howe would want all that crap and the unveiling of a statue. No. I think name a stand, name a training ground, all of that's great, but statues are for dead people.
Well, it feels like he has, to be fair. I mean, you know, it is this kind of funereal you know, sort of atmosphere at the moment. But yeah, 5 weeks to go then. And it's going to be a very interesting one, Jeff, isn't it? And there's going to be a lot of movement, you know, new manager being named, etc. And it's got to be surely a season of stability now. I mean, you can't, I mean, if somehow by some miracle we manage to get promoted this season, whoever's in charge, arguably it would be a bigger achievement than what Eddie achieved, perhaps, you know, given the, what's gone on beforehand.
One of the big things in favour of the new coach will be there won't be any fans for the first few games for however long, we don't know. That could be October, it could change, could stretch out longer than that. And that will give him a chance to actually work with the players without any pressure from screaming fans or Eddie Howe chants coming from raining down from the sides, which I think will actually be helpful. So he'll get the opportunity to work with the players in the way that he wants them to work. I think for me, it's important that we keep a Bournemouth style. I don't want to see long ball a la Jimmy Quinn coming into the team. And I still believe that critical to all of that is going to be who we hold on to going forwards. Certain players I'm actually quite relaxed about letting go. And I think Callum's probably done an Eddie. You know, I think he's probably had enough at Bournemouth and needs to move on.
Agreed. Speaking of the players, Neil, apparently, according to Chris Temple and a number of other sources, they were unaware of this news and they were made aware exactly the same time as we are. How do you feel if you were his captain or any player that's been signed by him to learn at the same time as the fans that he's going?
Yeah, I think it was a strange one because you'd normally think that he would have had a training ground meetup or a Zoom call or something to say goodbye. And maybe that's the bit that, because maybe that's the bit that Willow's alluding to with something strange that happened. Because Eddie always does everything the right way. That's the one thing that we do know about him. And I'm really surprised that you could clearly see from the players, they found out exactly the same time as us. Mm. Now, it was the club that put out the original statement, though, wasn't it? Not Eddie. So yeah. potentially that was something to, you know, maybe that was just that we want to get it out there. Maybe, I don't know. That was the one bit that was really odd.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff, you know, judging by the size of Eddie's letter, I mean, he must have started writing it about 2 weeks ago, because honestly, it was like the Book of Genesis. So, you know, he covered a lot of ground, and it's something that they wouldn't have hashed together in a couple of hours. It would have taken a day or, you know, maybe a couple of days. So if he knew, surely it wouldn't have taken much just to contact the players and just let them know what on earth's going on, because a lot of players were visibly shocked. I mean, Fletch was obviously saying what he said, and there was a bit of a Twitter banter between him and Warren Cummings, and Charlie Daniels very emotional, Steve Cook with a sad face, etc. It's a bizarre thing to, you know, get texted to you or see on Twitter or whatever at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Yeah, the whole thing around the timing of the announcement makes little sense, and how it was done. Unless, you know, we're being managed in this way. I think Neil makes a really good point that perhaps when that statement came out on Tuesday from Max, that there was a sense that the conversations weren't going well, so they wanted to get the club perspective out first before this decision happened. I think Eddie's probably been writing that statement for who knows how long. You know, certainly I don't think he's done that, you know, in a night. He's been thinking about it for months. And I suspect that they wanted to keep it quiet from the players for, I don't know, keep a lid on it, because there was already quite a bit of speculation come the end of the season, come Everton last week, that he was going to go. And I don't know. I can't really see why he didn't go on Sunday and why he went this Sunday. You know, he could have made the announcement after the Everton game and called it quits. And I don't think any of us would have been surprised. The longer it went on, that made it more surprising, to be honest.
In hindsight, Jeff, wouldn't you have rather had it the other way around, in that we'd have rather had Eddie's news first and then have something from Maxim saying, I'm committed to getting us back in the Premier League?
Yep, totally.
Yeah, You had a wry smile on your face, Neil, when talking about the tweets of players, especially Steve Fletcher and a few others that sort of commented sometimes with just emojis. But can you reveal more about your facial expressions there?
No, it was just that clearly there must be a bit of beef between Warren Cummings and Steve Fletcher, because I think Warren Cummings has taken his tweet down now, but he was quite acidic in his just crack on, just get on with it. You're a first team coach. Why are you writing like that? And then you could see Fletcher's a bit hurt because he kind of went back and said something along the lines of thanks for caring or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it revealed a bit.
Yeah, it's certainly very raw. And yeah, I mean, you know what? This is a developing story and we're going to be talking about it some more. So what we'll do is we'll wrap it up there for this particular podcast, but I'm sure we'll be chatting more in the forthcoming weeks and months. Neil, you're moving house this weekend, isn't it? So that threw a spanner in the works, did it? Or have you been able to... crack on fairly successfully?
Yeah, no. Well, gradually we're getting there. You know what moving house is like? It's a nightmare. So I had to have my mood picked up last night as well after the announcement, so that I could go again today unpacking boxes.
Brilliant. Neil, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. And also, Jeff Hayward, appreciate your time once again.
Looking forward to a quiet week, Sam.
And Neil Dawson there, almost too choked to say goodbye. The audio there was a little bit choppy, as we alluded to. Neil is moving house, therefore it was on a 4G / 3G iPad connection with no headphones. So apologies if it came across a little bit skew-whiff, but hopefully you got the gist of that message. Some audio that was very clear was from our YouTube video that we put on and Facebook after full time. Well, it feels like full time. It feels like the end. After 9 o'clock on Saturday when that news was announced. I don't know about you, but at 8:59 that evening, my optimism for the forthcoming season was pretty good. I was thinking, you know what, with Eddie, we can achieve anything. At 9:01, I felt flat as a pancake. But what did the fans feel? We've got Mike Botto first, then Chris Temple, and then some other thoughts provided by Cherries supporters across the globe.
Mike,
hey guys,
it's a raw time for all of us. How are you feeling, buddy?
Well, look, first of all, kudos to you guys for getting this up, and I messaged you, Sam. I've not previously opted to come on because I work for the club and I have to be careful what I say, I guess, but you have a fantastic support network here, and tonight I need it. My wife's away. Away, and the news has just come through, and I've nearly woke up my little boy to say, right, come on, you're sleeping in my bed tonight, because I'm gutted, absolutely gutted. And so I just tuned in to say hello, really, and to commiserate with the rest of you. It's sad times.
I know that you're obviously, you work for the club and you obviously don't want to take part in maybe what certain people are saying, but, this has come obviously as a surprise to you more than anyone.
Well, I don't know that it comes as a surprise to me, no, because I think his demeanour over the past few weeks has been someone that is tired and has given his all and it hasn't gone well. So it doesn't come as a massive surprise. I think I tweeted where's the effect that if we go down, that's one thing, but I think if we lose Eddie, that's quite another. And I'm just devastated that it's come to this.
One thing I'm concerned about, and this is thinking slightly out of the box, what on earth are we going to sing? Because most of our songs revolve around Eddie.
Yeah.
Revolve around being in the Premier League. We'd have to be rewriting our songbooks, pretty quickly. But there's rumours about some people staying on, JT, for example. What are you going to miss about not having him around, Mike?
For me, he sort of personifies the club. And I tweeted a little while ago that when he came back from Burnley, it felt like we'd got our club back. Now, Lee Bradbury was a club man. He'd been with us a while before he became manager, and Fletcher was involved on the management team, but just having Eddie at the helm again, it did feel like our club. And and it's going to be really, really weird. And I think that the double knock of starting the season with no fans in the ground and no Eddie on the touchline, you know, I'm sure a number of us have been supporting the club, you know, long before Eddie was at the helm. I've been a season ticket holder for 35 years. So, you know, we were Bournemouth before Eddie was manager, and we will be again, but it's going to feel incredibly odd. And like I say, compounded because we don't have the fans there as well. It's going to be a tough gig for whoever does take control over the summer and into the new season.
What kind of, liaisons do you have with Eddie, Mike? Is it just mainly on a match day where you sort of, you know, chat briefly in passing, or is he, you know, sort of on your phone that you might text, for example? What kind of relationship do you have with him?
Yeah, no, it's predominantly it's match days. I mean, yeah, I've done a fair bit with Eddie down the years, obviously, in the role. But yeah, I don't have his mobile number. I won't be texting him. But yeah, we would chat, you know, every match day without fail. And he's just a gent and always has been. And it's the same Eddie Howe that I knew as a player. It's the same Eddie Howe as I knew as a reserve team manager. And the guy that took us up to the Premier League and kept us there for 5 years, he is the same genuine, solid bloke that you see and comes across in the media.
I'll let you go fairly shortly, but can you just briefly change the subject in terms of what's it been like being a match day announcer over these, you know, past couple of months with no one in the ground? It must be the most surreal experience in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just goes to, you know, as if we didn't know it already. The fans are the club, and it's been pretty rubbish. Well, the results haven't helped, have they? But it's been pretty rubbish being there and not having the folk that I sit around in the stands and to sit and watch the match with. And of course the atmosphere that's created, and just, you know, having the AFC Bournemouth family together, we've really missed that. And I, you know, the sooner we can all get back together, the better.
You're looking very smart, Chris. Straight back from Wembley, right?
I've literally just landed back, Sam, like 5 minutes ago. It's been quite the evening. Is it? I'm sorry, I've missed what you guys have been saying, but in terms of what news I had of it, the first I knew of it was when I had a call from our sports editor at BBC Radio Solent, Adam Blackmore, on my way home to say, Eddie's gone. I had absolutely no idea, no hint. I was of the opinion he was going to stay. And so, yeah, I've literally had to stop at Fleet Services, do a couple of interviews for Five Live, read the statements in full, get a Burger King, obviously, and then I just made my way home. So, just still taking it all in, really. Just to update on a couple of things I have picked up, a couple of phone conversations I've had in the sort of interim period, and sorry if I'm repeating anything you've already sort of talked about, but the key thing, I guess, is everyone wanted to know is it genuinely an amicable split between the two, or has he been sort of sacked and it's been dressed up as mutual agreement? Well, the feeling I'm getting, the understanding I'm getting is it is a genuinely amicable parting of the ways. Obviously, an agreement that both club and manager would be better off, I guess, starting afresh, if you like. So that's the first thing to say. But you're right, in terms of obviously the turnaround now between the start of the season, I got asked doing a short piece from Five Live a moment ago, where do Bournemouth turn next in terms of who do they go for? The answer is I haven't got a clue, to be honest with you, because we haven't been in this position for a long time. The fact that Jason Tindall is obviously staying on initially, I know sometimes people can stay initially for a few days and then the situation can change, but the fact that only Eddie has gone and the rest of the footballing staff are staying in place. One or two people, as you said, are suggesting possibly it could be an inside appointment. But if you're appointing inside, I mean, I wouldn't think Jason Tindall is, you know, he doesn't strike people as management material. The closest I would say in the background is probably Stephen Purchase, who is a very sort of astute coach and an intelligent fella like Eddie. But again, maybe, I mean, who knows, in terms of the external personality side of it, Purchase is quite similar to Eddie in that he's a sort of very intelligent, quite reserved. But I would say he's probably, in terms of coaching qualifications, he's done his pro licence. He's probably the most obvious candidate if you said it was going to be an internal appointment.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused in what direction the club wants to go in, if I'm being honest. Really raw emotion at the moment. As I look at it now, I'm hearing Chris Hughton might be in the pipeline and he's got a history in the Championship of doing well. Personally, it's not for me. I mean, for me, if we're going to move on from Eddie, and it's good luck to the person who's going to try and do that. But for me, we go get Steven Gerrard. I don't think we can pull it off. But I look at someone like Steven Gerrard and think he could probably come in and the fans might take to someone like that. Young pedigree, trying to prove himself, was a good attacking player in his day. I don't want a Chris Hughton. I just don't. If it doesn't start off from the first whistle in the first game, the fans are just going to be on his back. I just don't know who the right man is. But all I've got in my mind at the moment is Steven Gerrard is someone similar to like Eddie, someone who's trying to prove themselves.
I think everyone wanted Eddie to have the...
I've completely shifted.
Yeah, massively. I think everyone wanted Eddie to have the chance. It was kind of, if we were going to carry on the fairy tale with Eddie, it was give him the chance in the Championship and we bounce straight back next season. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen now. And in many respects, I'm not trying to take us up to that level, but the job is a bit of a poison chalice. It's a bit like United after Ferguson went. It was, how do you replace him? Because Eddie did so much for the club and the expectations were always there. And anyone coming in now, it kind of, everyone at the club wants them to do well. But like you say, it's consolidation more than anything. It's not being pessimistic, but you kind of go, playoffs would be a really amazing result next season. I think if we can do that, that's great. But I think from the consolidation point of view, it's who we keep now out of the team. Rebuilding the team in 7 weeks is very difficult, very difficult. And I think... You look at the recruitment, I mentioned it. Necessarily, we're not going to have that money to spend now. We've got to reduce the wages as well. Players will go. And it's great talking about the young talent, but we're talking about the Championship here. We know it's probably one of the hardest divisions, if not the hardest division in the whole of Europe, to get out of, but also to play in, because you don't know who's going to win week in, week out. We saw it this week. I watched the semi-finals of the Championship playoffs. Great games, but end to end, it was, that's what we loved when we were going up in the Championship, which is end to end football. But to rebuild that team in 7 weeks to come back to is a tough ask, a very tough ask.
Yeah, so there we have it. Some raw thoughts there, a number of feelings. There was the feeling of being upset, numb, heartbroken, devastated, but some fans have got a wry smile on their face because they think, you know what, chance to embrace a new chapter. Oh, granted, there aren't many of them.
Hi, this is The Big Un, Steve Fletcher, and you're listening to Back of the Net.
So as you can probably tell in this podcast, there's no script. I've been feeling a little bit emotional, and it's a bit weird for me personally because as soon as I saw this news, I got texted on a WhatsApp group saying, someone said that Eddie's gone. And I just like, what? I went straight onto Twitter, saw it confirmed, and oh my goodness, I threw myself onto my laptop and I've been sort of taking in what other people say without having time to think about it myself. One of the things we have done, though, is we've done a tribute on our YouTube page and it was called The Journey is Better Than the Destination. Because it has been, hasn't it? League One into League Two, League One into the Champ, and then the Champ to the Prem, brilliant. And then, yeah, you know, what we've achieved and the, you know, the amount that we've done even in the Premier League, it has been a great journey. But, you know, we are now leaving that destination. And you think, well, it was the journey rather than the actual target. And I know football's a thing whereby you're naturally wanting to improve. And if you do improve, you'll naturally get into the Premier League. But there's a lot to be looking forward to next season, even without Mr. Eddie Howe, but we couldn't let this slip. So we've done a video. It went on YouTube and Facebook. This is the audio from it, as a lot of AFC Bournemouth fans came together and put together some poetic prose to the music of a track called Old Skin from Olafur Arnalds, he composed most of Broadchurch, actually, the music to that. But this is our tribute to say thank you, Eddie. Little old Bournemouth on the south coast, friendly, sedate, they've nothing to boast. 11,000 seats, that's no kind of ground, but when Dean Court is full, boy, we make a sound. From Pulis to Quinn, we all know the rest. There was a ceiling at Bournemouth, we were League One at best. But Eddie took over, put his imprint on the club,
Cherry's no longer the laughing stock of the pub. League Two to League One, the champ to the Prem. The media had us down. Well, V's up to them. It was not always easy. This season the worst. Where football came second, the bubble might burst. Fans were concerned that the Cherries might fall. Plus, with COVID and VAR, it was no longer football. But restart we did, and Eddie looked worn. The championship was calling and fans were forlorn. History tells us that Bournemouth might make an escape. With Howe at the helm, a renaissance might take shape. The league restarted with no fans to cheer. Not getting behind Eddie and the lads, it was such a huge fear. But let's put it into perspective. It is what it is, and we've had a lifetime of memories where the boys did the biz. Chanting from home, we had to watch on the box, and with four losses to start, we were slow out the blocks. Down by the beach, we'd chat cherries with our friends, talking about the Bournemouth on whom we depend. So down's where we went, I think we all knew. But let's look back much further for a different view. It's a far cry from the past with Winter Garden woe. Minus 17 points, the club nearly did go. With Grimsby and Fletch, the story was written. It's moments like this that make us all smitten. Super hitting the net, the North Stand a sea of red. And little did we know what would lie ahead. The 2-0 at Burton, second in League One. Cherries on the crest of a wave, scoring goals for fun. Yes, there was Burnley, which all sent us off track, but family life came first, so then he came back. The beginning of a rise, the togetherness of staff, Premier League football, you're having a laugh. The 3-0 versus Bolton, the game where we knew Bournemouth have prospered to the EFL FU. Most elated, the Cherries at their peak, numb with excitement, well, just ask Jeff's bum cheeks. So what would lie ahead? Would we go toe-to-toe? Well, it's chance to experience the money-fueled show. Big grounds to visit, some better than others. A chance for Saints fans to call us their little brothers. And in the top flight, we prospered with our brand of play. Just ask the Hotspur in 90 minutes, Nathan Ake. Liverpool fell 4-3, players down on their knees. The media purred over us. We were darlings of the league.
Steve Cook sees the headlines, drives it for goal, spilt, and Ake has won it surely! And the Cherries have surely completed an unthinkable turnaround!
And then the 3-1 at Saints, that was barely a surprise. And the 1-0 at Chelsea, we couldn't believe our eyes. Plus United and Arsenal, those games won't be forgotten. Those teams will never appreciate what it is to be rock bottom. Written off each year as merely pretenders, but for 5 years, we proved Premier League contenders. And so now we know what a wild trip it's been. World famous, what, Bournemouth? Was it a dream? One thing which links us, our saviour and glue, is the man that made it happen, Eddie Howe. Thank you.
Right, let's wrap up the show then. Ugh. I don't feel like playing upbeat music, but we always do to end off the show. And look, we support Bournemouth, so let's just all come together. And as a podcast, we'll be trying to do whatever we can do. Time is very precious for me at the moment with work being really busy. If you can donate to the podcast in any way, shape or form, buy a review on your podcast app, that would be appreciated. But if you can donate financially, I think we're going to be buying some sort of new camera stuff for the YouTube channel. I need a new mic desperately. And also our hosting costs from Podiant and also StreamYard, the platform that we use to record these podcasts and our live videos at the moment. That's racking up at the moment. So if you can contribute, it's afcbpodcast.com/coffee. and yeah, just donate what you can. AFCBpodcast.com/coffee. So we're basically going to be freestyling the podcast. I think, yeah, we're still going to be doing it every Monday, but the YouTube channel and our Twitter feed is the place to really be to sort of keep abreast with what we're going to be doing. Videos are going to be coming out all the time. It's a fast moving situation, but if there's a midweek pod that needs to be done, we'll put it on here. But stay tuned first and foremost to the YouTube channel. We'll be here, I'm sure, on Mondays, but we'll let you know via our socials what on earth is going to be going on. It's a real sad time for us at the moment, and it's a time of reflection. But above all, we want Eddie to be okay. And, you know, a man that looked fatigued and absolutely shattered, he needs a break. I saw Steve Harris, the BBC Radio Solent breakfast show presenter, saying that he saw him on Sunday morning as he went out for his run playing tennis in Branksome somewhere. And, you know, he said, look, I foregoed my media duties. I didn't want to interview him, get a soundbite. I just stopped when they had a natural break in play in their game, Eddie and his sons, and I just shouted, thank you, Eddie. I think he got some kind of acknowledgement. But yeah, he's a man that's going to be sorely missed. And, you know, last week's show was the end of an era. This week's, well, it is more than that. Crazy, crazy times. Stay tuned to us, though. This has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
My vision of football really has changed. So as a player, play to win, you play to succeed individually and of course as part of a team, but then when I became a coach, suddenly I had to view it totally differently. And as I've grown older as a coach, I've moulded my ideas and philosophies, and to this point today, I want to play attractive football. I want people to want to pay to come and watch my team.